This week on the Fifth Trooper podcast.
First article for the specialist came out, which I know everybody was clamoring for. Unfortunately for us, it was the Rebels.
Welcome to the Fifth Trooper podcast.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Fifth Trooper podcast, where we talk Star Wars Legion. My name is Jay Schalansky, and joining me as always is Evan Bulris.
Hey, how's it going?
So on today's episode, later on, we have a really cool interview with War Corgi. If you're on the Discord or you're online or any of that stuff, his real name's Michael. Super cool dude. He does a bunch of like battle reps and painting stuff, not only for Legion, but also for 40K. He does some work for Paint All the Minis, which was the podcast I was interviewed on a few weeks ago. And then he also does his own YouTube channel, War Corgi is the name of the channel. It's really good. He's a good dude. And actually, I played a TTS game against him last week.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun. So if you get a chance, head over to our YouTube channel. You can see us play. But before we move on with the episode, I'd like to just bring up the polls that we had talked about a few episodes ago. The first one was, hey, do you guys want us to do a merch store or a Patreon? Mm-hmm. We're at 23 or 24 participants in that right now. It's coming up. Merch store is about 70% so far.
Yeah.
If you haven't voted and you feel like you want to say in this, we're listening and we're going to do whatever, whatever you guys want us to do. And actually, we've already started putting in effort into the merch store. We're going to have, right now, we got t-shirts, we're going to have hoodies, we're going to have order token bags, and some other stuff that I don't want to spoil right now, but I think it'll be cool and worth your while.
Yeah, we're actually going to have a lot of content, so it won't be like you log on and you click shirts and there's one, and then you click other items and there's like a hat.
Yeah, we'll have different stuff for you guys. Hopefully you enjoy it. And then the other poll was what kind of content you want to see us posting. And, you know, a lot of that's come back as well. So if you haven't been to thefifthtrooper.com, we've already started creating more content. So we're up to four podcasts now. Actually, we just added... Evan is part of an X-Wing community called Radical Squadron. That's why you always hear him say rad at the end of our podcast, cross-promoting his bullshit. No, I'm just kidding.
Secretly try.
Yeah, cross-promoting. So he actually just, what is it? You revamped and relaunched your podcast on X-Wing, right?
Yeah, so we've done Radical Squadron for about a year now going into it. And we just had to realign our efforts after... Near the end of 1.0, no one really cared about X-Wing until 2.0 came out. And then you get the article and you speculate on, right, that's part of the fun. Like, same thing with Legion, right? You get a new article and you're like, oh, well, what card's going to be, you know, coming out for that? What's going out next? Then we lost focus for a while. And then I just lost, not interest in it, I lost a lot of drive to do it. And then we got it back together with a new revamp. We got some new energy in the group. But no, we just kind of like... got it back together. It was something I really liked doing. You just got to get back on that horse, right? And then keep trying for that again. But now there's a lot of stuff coming out. We're going to go into a lot of tournaments. We usually talk about tournament prep, and we'll talk about just general X-Wing stuff. But we used to talk about Legion, but this is kind of your thing. So we're kind of just going to focus more on X-Wing.
Yeah, so it's, you know, I highly recommend checking that out if you're interested in X-Wing too. You know, we're trying to, I know a lot of you, or some of you at least, don't like us talking about other games on the Legion podcast, and I respect that. I'm going to do what I want, but I respect that.
Fair.
So I'm trying to spread out. We're trying to do more content where we can talk about these other things that we enjoy playing, like Crunch and Chaos podcast. That's Nick, who used to be on this podcast. He and I talk about Keyforge.
Yep.
You know, we started the blog last week. We've done two general board game blog posts about I had a Kickstarter at one point that failed, and I'm kind of tearing apart what happened to me.
Yeah,
and
that was
and
a good article. Yeah.
Thank you. And we posted the other one this past Monday. And then also I'm going to start doing a Legion blog. And right now, the first one I posted up is I'm just talking about how to get your minis table ready as quickly as possible for those people who don't have a lot of time. And our first kind of issue or post about that was primer. Mm-hmm. And I go into the different primers that I use and what I like about them, and then how you can use those primers to kind of lay down a color that you know is going to be the primary color of your mini, so then you don't have to like do all this meticulous painting afterwards.
Yeah.
So, you know, check it out, thefifthtrooper.com, to give us your feedback on everything we're producing. And then also on our YouTube channel, we're putting up live streams of TTS, live streams of Keyforge. We're going to be doing more battle reports. I really like the TTS format for battle reports because I think you can really get in and see all the different stuff. So if you guys are liking that, you know, keep
watching it.
It and give us any feedback that you have on it.
Smash that like button, yo.
That's right. Subscribe.
Hit that bell.
We're doing good. And you know, you guys seem to be enjoying it, those of you who are watching it. And so I just encourage you to keep doing it and let us know what you want to see. And if you haven't submitted a vote on the poll yet, please do. I will be sending the winners of both polls a t-shirt with the Fifth Trooper logo on it.
Sweet.
So, yeah. All right, so that's kind of out of the way. So then the next thing, you know, that happened this past week since our last episode is the first article for the Specialist came out, which I know everybody was clamoring for. Unfortunately for us, it was the Rebels.
Hey, I'll take anything at this point.
Just kidding, Rebel players. No, but seriously, who cares about the Rebels? So it's pretty interesting. I like everything that they put out. I don't know specifically yet how I would incorporate it into lists. Like, I have some ideas. I do like the general, the officer commander unit.
That's super cool. Like a dual unit.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people were worried because of Veers and Leia being more point yeah. wise. That they do more, but I mean, this guy really doesn't do. I mean, he's got a lot, you know. He has on his card, he's 50 points. He's got 4 health, 2 courage. He crits on both, or not crit. I'm sorry. He surges on both offense and defense.
Yeah.
And he has a gun that's 1 black, 1 white. Not terrible, not great, but not terrible.
Yeah.
For an action, he has take cover 1, choose 1 friendly trooper unit at range 1. You get that unit gains a dodge token. He has inspire 1. After rally step, remove up to 1 suppression token from another friendly unit at range 1 to 2, and he has sharpshooter 1.
He's extremely respectable.
For 50 points?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that sharpshooter 1, remember, that goes to the attack pool.
Right.
So as long as he's shooting in the group, what's his range?
So this is the commander. So
yep.
So he wouldn't be in a group.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. But still, having just a 50-point guy, yeah, what's his range on his
gun? 1 to 2.
That's fine.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It's, you know, Veers is 1 to 3 with surge to crits and 3 white dice, but
right.
I'd rather have 1 black die than 2 white.
Like, no, yeah, yeah. And listen, I mean, depending on what, and I think some, and we're going to get into these in a second, the command cards will play into this, but like, depending on what you're looking to do with your army, 50 points to just have a commander and move on with your life isn't terrible.
Yeah, I've been looking to make a just an all nobody list, like all generics, pretty much, like no heroes, just bodies. And I think that'd be perfect. Like the Imperial one on the flip side has, instead of take cover 1, they've got spotter 1, and they have the inspire. They're pretty much the same thing verbatim. Just they put an Imperial hat on them instead of a bald hat, I guess. no hat. But yeah, they're like, I'm looking forward to the Imperial one, but the Rebel one looks fine.
It looks respectable for 50 points. So for the command cards, the one pip is sabotaged communications. You can give an order to 1 special forces or 1 operative unit. And basically, your opponent must issue orders to 1 fewer unit that is indicated on their command card to a minimum of 1.
So that's super great against Veers' evasive maneuvers.
Yep.
Because you really want to do it on 2 bikes, or in my case, it was 2 ATSDs.
Yeah.
And they play that, and I play my evasive, and I'm like, oh. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I can't do it on both now.
Whoops.
Right.
Like, on stuff like push. okay, you lose one. Like, that's, yeah, that's bad, but it stinks, but it's not, doesn't feel as impactful as the ones that are very specific.
I like it because it monkeys with what your opponent's doing. So, for instance, if you were playing Vader and he was going to do a new ways to motivate him on two units, yeah, and you just had a feeling which unit was going to rough you up more,
yeah,
you just play, you know, you can play this card.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think it's, at first, my first thought spoiled a long time ago. I didn't really have too many thoughts on it. I'm like, yeah, it's all right. Because like, I'm used to getting really hammered by the one pip cards for each commander that activate themselves. So I'm like, well, what am I going to, but against Imperial Discipline, if you really need to get that suppression off you, against Master of Evil,
yeah,
that can hurt. Against Han's three pip, I don't really remember what it was.
Yeah, oh boy.
Sorry, put you on the spot. Or an entire Legion, I suppose. You just get to hold one back.
One back, yeah. Yeah, and then, so it's good, you know, for 50 points.
Yeah,
again,
yeah.
I guess I want to put that in perspective. It's,
yeah,
50 points.
Yeah, whatever. It's
right. Okay, so then they're two pip called Turning the Tide. Two support or two heavy units. Well, I guess it's two support or heavy units, so it could be one of each.
Yeah.
But each friendly support and heavy unit gains Inspire, too. And Inspire is that thing that removes, during the rally step, removes suppression. Okay. So basically what you're looking at is like your AT-ST or your T-47 is heading, or your EWAB or your, yeah, AT-RT is, mm-hmm, heading up the battlefield. And then they're basically inspiring the rest of your army.
I think that's cool. I think it's another... It's a step in the right direction. I mean, even has a T-47 on the picture.
Yeah.
To maybe get that back in the game somehow. Having him move up with your troops, and then maybe once that gets gunned down, like pretty heavy, you can inspire. Or someone takes take cover.
Right.
Like Wookiees take cover. They move up. Oh, they have that get rid of suppression anyway. Maybe a bad. Right. Let's say you do the Rebel sniper team, the full squad of them. And then they have take cover. They take it to not take damage. And you can fly up. They see the jets fly overhead. They shout. They,
yeah,
lose two suppression. They keep going. Like, or against on the Jyn Erso stuff, because they have that danger sense where they get to reroll, so they have suppression. Yeah. You don't want to have to use that though, right? That's probably,
right,
bad if you're getting pegged that bad. You don't want them to flee. So seeing a couple ATRTs or T-47s fly over, giving them that. I'm not saying play two T-47s, but you know, maybe one day they'll be, one will be like a reasonable squad choice.
Yeah.
And to have it roll up and to have like a an ATRT and a T-47 get inspired too to really remove some suppression,
yeah,
would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's just moving you in the right direction, and I think, you know, the 50 points allows you to kind of think about it's almost you know, you could take him by himself, mm-hmm, as a commander. Or you could supplement, like, if you're going to add them with Leia or Luke, and then you get these kind of, these cards, yeah, too. I think that would be, it's worth the 50 points to kind of have.
Yeah.
And then you're also spreading out your command range as well.
Yeah, you know, that's the...
For 50 points. That's not bad. Okay, so it's three pip covering fire, three core units. After a friendly core unit performs a ranged attack, another friendly unit at range 1-2 may gain one dodge token.
That's pretty good.
That's good with the Rebel Nimble ability.
Yeah, because if you, sure, have a guy who's a little bit higher up, you can shoot with the back guy, then give them their forever, yeah, dodge, and then they're pretty much good to go.
Yeah. Yeah, and it just gives you more options if you see, like, if you put in a position where you need to make sure that guy in the front is okay and he's going to survive whatever barrage is about to head his way. I think it's a good option, you,
yeah,
know?
I mean, again, 50 points.
50 right, points, like, yeah.
Good enough.
Okay, so that's the commander version. Now, the same model can also become a rebel officer. Mm-hmm. And so you add the mini into a unit. So if you had a core unit with Z6, your courage is increased by one. That's cool.
Yep.
You gain inspire one. So after your rally step, remove up to one suppression token from another friendly unit at range 1-2. So that's good.
Yep.
So he's like a mobile commander.
Mm-hmm.
With some more protection, and then he's considered the leader for that unit.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it's interesting, and I've seen these used to pretty good effect on the battlefield. I think anytime you can, increase your courage,
yeah,
is good. Just from an activation standpoint, so that you can activate them. So if you go from a one courage to a two courage, and you have one suppression, you can still do some stuff now.
Yep, and it'll take four to make him run.
Yeah, and right. So he's 19 points. Is it worth it? I don't know. It depends on what you're trying to accomplish.
I think it's not bad. I mean, again, so far, before we get to the other unit that they... Well, they spoiled her last article. Like, yeah. This is an article just for her. But he's probably the cheapest add-on so far in the game.
Yeah.
At 19, I think, like, the DLT is 24, and I thought that was... Or 22 for the minigun. Yeah. For the Rebels, so I think he's cheapest so far.
Yeah, and I guess 19 points to kind of, A, have someone else in your unit, and then B, so he's, regular troopers were 11, so he's a little bit more than regular troopers, but I don't know, it all depends on the makeup of your list. Like, I want to get out of the habit of saying whether things are good or bad until I see them in action with lists. I saw some on TTS with the officers. They worked. They did what they wanted them to do, but I couldn't tell if it was because of the list, because of the player, or because of the officer itself.
I mean, they save you from a Master of Evil, right? So Vader moves up, does Master of Evil. I mean, it doesn't save you from suppression, but saves you from running.
Well, yeah. I think it's three. He doles out, so they would
he
still
doles
be
up.
Two.
Three, but because he gives you two, and then you double it.
Yeah,
right. So you wouldn't just.
Understood. I'm sorry.
No,
yes.
Okay. I've had guys just auto run sometimes. Yeah, yeah. Get a bad rally roll.
Yeah.
But he'll still stand there, and then he'll inspire somebody else. So they'll go to two, and then hopefully they get one. Right. Like.
Yeah.
So
I guess it's you're kind of adding some beef to, like, if you're planning on a unit that's gonna go after some objectives. You can add some kind of meat to it and a little bit of bite so that they can make it. They don't panic. They still have their activations.
Not that Jedi Mind Tricks is super used, but it saves you from that.
Yeah.
It saves you from give in to your hate, I think, the Empire card that gives you three suppression if you don't shoot, right? Not like 100% saves you.
Oh, give in to your anger? Yeah, that's four suppression.
Is it four?
Yeah.
Okay. So that, like, if they do it to a unit next to him and you get to take a suppression off and maybe they roll... Well, they might not run. If they do it to him, hopefully he gets at least a one out of those four die and he doesn't run.
Yeah, and the Inspire 1 helps too. So you run them next to other guys so they still have their activations. I mean, there's definitely plenty of strategy and tactics that you can use this guy for. I don't know. I don't know yet.
Yeah, I'm just thinking also if your main unit, your commander dies, like you put Vader up there, not Vader, or Luke, and he gets killed. You can make him your leader, and at least you still have a four that they run on instead of that two.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a lot of uses for him. Or he could just get completely wiped out by a bad defense roll, and the whole squad goes, and that's it. Then who cares, right?
Right. Okay.
Oh, okay, yeah, her.
Yeah, oh, yeah. So the next one is the Rebel Comms Technician. Rebel only. Add one Rebel Comms Technician mini. You gain a comms upgrade icon. You must equip a comms upgrade card for 9 points. So that's interesting. It's a mini, and then it allows you to have some comms stuff. So the one, you got comms jammer, or the new one that came out is comms relay. When you would be issued an order, you may choose a friendly unit at range 1 to 2. Issue an order to the chosen unit instead. So it's kind of a comms relay, right? So you put her in there, you give them the comms, and now you can bounce... Now your commander has up to five for orders.
Yeah.
So you want to get to that speeder bike that's way out, or, well, this is Rebels. You want to get to that T-47. Well, okay, the comms relay isn't Rebels. But so
you want to get to something.
Yeah, you want to get to something that's out of your commander's range, you comms relay it.
I actually think it's like, okay, she's only like 9 points?
Yeah, so 14 points altogether for that to work on a normal unit.
That's really not bad. And does she say non-combatant?
Let me see. I don't believe she does.
So she shares the unit's base weapon, right? That's, as far as I know, don't quote us 100%, but that's a cheaper... She takes up a special or a troop unit?
Troop.
She's cheaper than an add-on...
Yeah. But, well, not really, though, because you're forced into, you must equip an upgrade
card. Oh, you must. So okay, sorry, I didn't see that.
Yeah, so you're at least 14 points in.
But even so, having one Rebel Trooper unit with instead of an extra guy, you put her in there, that might not be bad. I really like comp. I really, really want comms jitter to work. I've wanted to work for the bikes before.
Yeah.
It's just...
I think it almost might here because, okay, so let's speculation time. So let's say you put her in the Rebel Comms Technician. You put her in your unit. Mm-hmm. You then take, I mean, you're taking 24 points, but you then take the Comms Jammer. Enemy units at range one cannot be issued orders unless they're issuing an order to themselves. So that, unless, you know, that takes out Royal Guard, that takes out Wookiees. That, I mean, there's a number of things that could really mess up your day that now you're stopping them from issuing orders to.
I wanted to use them on bikes, so when you have to swing, when you do that pass and you're in the middle of their army as you're going through to try to leave after a shot, so they just can't activate anything around them, so they have to activate things farther out to take shots. Not that there's range bonuses in this game, but I really like the idea of, like, just denial, like, access denial, and them, like, getting a Rebel behind heavy cover with a dodge token, and that you're not getting rid of them, right? Like they take three less damage, plus you just can't or issue orders to, I don't know. I think it's good. I think it's
15 is a lot for that comms jammer for some reason in my head, but
it is. I mean, it's powerful if it, there's gonna be that one turn when you're like, oh my gosh, thank God I had comms jammer on this guy to stop that Imperial Guard from charging me and giving me the gubbins.
Yeah,
but on the other hand, you could just never have anybody at range one and they get gunned down. You're like, well, there's 15 points right in the toilet.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be too. All right. So another unit that can, or another mini that can be added to your units, 2-1B medical droid, Rebel only. Add one 2-1B medical droid mini to the unit. Treat one as a free action, capacity two. Place a wound token on this card to remove one wound token from or restore one mini to a friendly non-emplacement trooper unit at range one and in line of sight. Limit to two tokens.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. They're 18 points and they're a non-combatant, so they don't add to your dice pool, but, I mean, it's, yeah, it's good.
Again, you put on a group of four Rebels, so base four Rebels is 40 points. You put him on there. You take two damage off Luke. You take two damage off Han. You heal a Wookiee. You bring a Wookiee back, right?
So you can't put him with Han or...
Well, I'm saying he can heal that range one, right? He can heal another unit at range one?
Yeah.
So
any non-emplacement trooper unit
at range one. You can get a Wookiee back with that.
Right. Oh, yeah, and Han and... Yeah, and you're right, and Luke. So, yeah, you could heal any of them.
Yep. I think that's... Oh, you can't bring Han or Luke back from the dead, but...
Right.
Sometimes, how many times have you just lost Luke to that one damage, and you're like... You know, you're like... But that's pretty cool.
Or, yeah, or you want to keep Luke alive. Yeah, you're like, he just got shot up. You're like, all right, I'm going to treat him. Maybe he has emergency stims, too. You know, then you got a lot of stuff going on to kind of postpone his life. But also, too, this could work... as far as, like, the Z6 as well.
Yep.
Right? Like, keeping your Z6 or your DLT-19 in the game until...
Yeah. No, I think that's really cool. I've been waiting for this. Like, this and Repair. Like, we're going to... Not spoil the next card, but there's one... The droid is the same thing, but for vehicles.
Yeah, so the next one we'll just go right to. An R5 Astromech droid. Rebel only, add one to droid mini. Repair one, capacity two. Place a wound token on this card to remove one wound, ion, or vehicle damage token from a friendly ground vehicle at range one and in line of sight. Limit two tokens.
So
this is only going to work for your AT-RT.
Yeah, it's his ground vehicle, which is a little bit of a bummer.
Yep.
But I guess you can't stop the T-4, like, T-47 can't land for a minute to let
look at it. What you could do is your ATRTs, you march them up in front, they count as cover, you go in behind them, and as they're covering for you, you start pulling wounds off of them to get them, you know, and then maybe you give them the flamethrower and you barbecue.
How many points is that guy?
Eight.
Yeah, that's like nothing. If that's nothing to keep, 8 points is totally worth throwing away to keep an ATRT in the game one more round. To get up there and toast somebody, or get that last heavy laser shot to take out a vehicle, good. I think that's
Well, maybe. Even think about it this way. It says vehicle damage token, too. So yeah. If you get that one where they take out your gun, you just take that off. And you're like, nah, that's not happening.
Yeah, that's the Imperial one for like the ATSD. Because I actually really like running ATSDs just naked, just main gun and feet. So what? You don't use Arsenal 2 all the time. You get close because they don't get caught in melee. So you kick somebody.
Yeah.
You kick some troopers with 4 red dice. That's a slightly worse lightsaber. And then you shoot somebody else. But if they get damaged, it's a ground vehicle. So I'm assuming that the Imperial one's going to be the same kind of deal.
Sure.
Repair 1, 2 charges. I mean, once you get that main cannon lost, like with an ATST, you're like, oh, well, GG.
Yeah.
But he can come up and just pop that off so you can get a shot in.
Yeah, it's really interesting, and especially the way it's worded, friendly ground vehicle, it makes me believe that eventually they're going to have astromech droids for the T-47 or something, too, because it only makes sense, because then it's like, or some sort of way to repair it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's like if Empire ever got... They don't really have repulsor vehicles, per se. Not that I can think of, like, something that's going to fight a T-47 on the ground. Because they just always use TIE fighters. Right? It was always, like, TIE fighters and bombers that fought them in the movie. Like, even in Hoth and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, in the video games, there's not really a... You know, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, Internet. But I don't really know of a Empire, like, equivalent to a airspeeder.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
That's not like a...
Well, let us know. Yeah, I mean, they had those, what were those, TIE...
Strikers?
TIE Striker, was that from Rogue One?
Yeah, I mean, they're...
That had, like, the wings, kind of angled wings, maybe those.
Strikers are supposed to be, but they throw them in X-Wings and they're in space.
So they're in space.
Where the T-47 doesn't go in space, right?
Right.
But if there is, but that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
sure.
I'm all down for that.
All right, so that's the Rebel Specialist, so that was what... is out by the time we recorded this podcast. They'll probably come out with the Empire one before this goes live, and you podcast guys will be like, curse. Oh, why didn't you talk about this? And I'll just be like, because we pre-recorded. And but they come out this week, so they're out Thursday, right?
Yeah, 26th, I believe, is their launch date.
Then that's... No, that doesn't make sense, because that's Saturday.
They launch on Fridays.
Thursday, Friday. Yeah, it should be this week.
End of the week.
So look out for those. Okay. Now we're going to go ahead and move into our interview with War Corgi, and please enjoy.
Excellent.
All right, so now we're talking to Michael, or you may know him as War Corgi online. You may be familiar with his name if you're on the Discord channel, if you're on Reddit, or on YouTube. He has his own YouTube channel under the same name, War Corgi, and he also does some stuff for Paint All the Minis. Hey, thanks for coming on, man. Really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to finally be on the show. This is my first Star Wars Legion podcast, so I'm a little nervous and definitely excited.
Well, gosh, we feel very special. Thank you so much for coming on our show. This is great. I'm going to refer to you as War Corgi, if that's all right, because I like that name, and that's how I first got to know you. So... War Corgi here. He does some great battle reports, not just for Legion, but you do 40K as well, right?
Yeah, we actually started with Team Yankee, but those are days long gone now.
Yeah, and another fun thing is you're actually calling in from Germany, which is very cool for us, because that's the one great thing that I found, and I'm sure all the other miniature games are like this too, but in particular with my interaction with this community and this game, is it seems like we're all over the place.
Absolutely, and you know, I get to interact with the Germans quite a bit, naturally, as I'm living in their country for the past 2.5 years, and they're fantastic gamers, they're fantastic hobbyists, and fantastic hosts for us Americans who get the privilege of living over here for part of our time.
Yeah, so I know we've talked about this privately, but I'm sure people out there would like to know what's the scene like for Legion in Germany, if you've seen it at all.
So in Stuttgart, Germany, where I live, the scene is in the basement of my house, where you see Simon and I playing games that we then go on to post to YouTube. I also bring my wife down here from time to time and get a game in with her, although she's too camera shy to appear on the channel. Now there's a greater community I'm trying to tap into. They have their own Facebook page and they run tournaments. I was thinking about going up to a tournament on February 2nd, but it's about a 3.5 hour drive, which really in Germany means it's probably 4.5 hours once you factor in road construction and stuff. But if, you know, even on the Legion Facebook page, for us Americans, there's a German on there who posts his pictures from his tournaments that he's running, and they look fantastic. And then if you ever get a chance to watch the German YouTube channels, they cover this in depth and have some great reports with some great looking models.
Yeah, I watched two of the Bell reports with Simon. I love him. He's my favorite. So I'm a little shout out to Simon. Wie geht's, mein Freund? Alles Simon. Gut, yeah?
Simon is absolutely fantastic. He's been a little harried lately because he's pursuing his doctorate degree in chemistry. So by the time he gets over the house to play some games, he's normally a little tired, but he is a Legion convert, and I'm lucky to have him as a partner on the channel.
Herr Doktor, that'll be fun. You can refer to him as Dr. Simon in your next videos.
Never, perfect. Never. So also throw a shout out to Daniel Grossman. He's the German I was talking about who runs a lot of tournaments over here. He has his own YouTube channel, and he and I have been trying to hook you up. It's just a tyranny of distance at this point. Americans aren't normally great with geography, but Germany's actually a pretty big country, so makes things difficult.
Yeah. So speaking of YouTube, why don't you talk to us about your channel a little bit, War Corgi, kind of what you're looking to do on there, what people can find on there, and why you're doing it. Like, what's the passion that got you there?
So I just love gaming, and I've loved gaming ever since, you know, I was in grade school and high school. And as far as the passion for putting together videos and doing the editing and shooting the videos and throwing them up on YouTube, it was really Simon's idea. We were playing a new game system called Team Yankee, and there wasn't a whole lot of YouTube content out there, just like there isn't a whole lot of content out there for Star Wars Legion right now. And he thought it would be a great way to reach out to a broader audience, and he was absolutely right. So if you go on the War Corgi YouTube channel right now, the primary focus right now is Warhammer 40K, and we've been doing that ever since 8th edition. But I'm really excited to explore the opportunities Legion provides. Dan Adams from Paint All the Minis fame, and you just appeared on his podcast and did a fantastic job, by the way, sent me the core box in order to play around with that. And as soon as I opened it and saw the minis and started playing around with the mechanics, I was in love. And so I've recorded a total of 3 battle reports so far. 2 of them appear on Paint All the Minis. And those are more narrative and focus, you know, same rules, but we're using one of the operations, Blue Metal. And then the one on my channel is just a straight up game of competitive Legion. And we're looking to produce more battle reports just like that for both those channels moving forward.
Yeah, that's excellent. And Dan does a great podcast. And I was on there, what was it, a couple weeks ago now? That was a lot of fun. So he's got a lot of good stuff going.
Yeah, I thought, I reached out to you because I think you're a tremendous ambassador for the Legion community. I think you're easy to relate to, and you speak very eloquently about Star Wars Legion. I was really happy to hear how well you did on the podcast and how well it was received by the Paint All the Minis community. Paint All the Minis has a Facebook page with over 3,000 members now, and it exists solely to encourage people to hobby and expose them to new things in the hobby. So I think you really reached a lot of people by going on that podcast and speaking so well about Star Wars Legion.
Oh yeah, man. Thanks. That's really kind of you to say. It was nothing. It was effortless. I mean, it was just fun. We just, you know, we basically just talked about Legion and gaming, which is stuff I talk about every day anyways. So it's completely cool and fun.
It came across. I think that's what
good.
Works with it. So don't sell yourself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I love this game.
Yep.
We all do, right? Like, we all love this game, and I'm very passionate about it, and it's everything I think we've ever wanted. Like, it takes Star Wars and gives us all the kind of Warhammer-esque wargaming, and it's just married it all so well that what's not to love about this game?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So now, I know you have some views on painting minis and painting requirements and all that. And so I thought I'd ask you about that. And why don't you tell us a little bit about your views when it comes to painting your minis and making them table ready?
Yeah, so it can be a divisive topic, and I'm not a divisive person. So that's not where I'm going with this. I'm certainly not one advocating for a painting requirement to play in tournaments. I think this community needs to be as open as we possibly can and welcome everybody into it so that we get as many players as we can and, you know, just share in what is an excellent game. But I think there's some strong arguments to be had on why you as an individual should take the time and effort to paint your miniatures, or failing that, because there are some people who absolutely dread painting miniatures, or there are some people who just don't have the time or resources to paint the miniatures, you know, maybe convincing somebody or paying somebody to do it for you. And really, my argument has 2 points. The first one is when you go to your local game store or you go to the Las Vegas Open or anywhere in between those two events, putting painted miniatures on the table helps bring people in. You and Evan talk all the time about the importance of playing and then having people come up and ask you, oh, what the heck is that? That looks like an AT-ST. Well, having painted miniatures just makes that pop so much more, and it's just going to generate more interest for us. And that helps grow the game, you know, as a whole. And that's why I feel it's important as a member of the Star Wars Legion community, and it's a fantastic community to be a member of, I think we all have at least a little bit of responsibility to be ambassadors for the game. And part of that is trying to paint your miniatures. The second
point. Yeah, I like what you're saying with that. Yeah, I mean, just to go back, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off there, but I think you're absolutely right in the fact that as someone who doesn't have a ton of time because of everything I'm doing, sometimes it feels daunting to paint the minis, you know what I mean? To like kind of put that time aside. And my argument has always been with painting is I get mentally you want it to be perfect, because I always do. I always want it to be perfect. But they're minis and they're kind of far away. So, you know, not too many people are going to pick them up and look them over. And if they are, they usually only pick up your unit leader. So what I would say is my recommendation is if you feel like it's too daunting, put a lot of time into your unit leader and then just kind of make it through the rest of the unit. I find that that's a good way to do it.
I find that new hobbyists especially put so much more pressure on themselves to reach a standard which may not even be attainable than the community will ever put on them. I can't remember a single time, and I've been gaming for over 2 decades now, where somebody has walked into a store with their minis that they have painted and said, hey, look at these, where everyone in this door didn't say, man, that's awesome. I really like what you did here. Because everyone likes to play with painted miniatures. And we understand that not everyone's going to be a pro at it. You watch my YouTube channel, all the miniatures for Legion are painted and they look good, but they're not like professional quality. And that's not what anybody in the community is wanting or expecting from you. So once you can get past that mental hangup that you're not going to do it perfectly, and that's okay, because like you say, 3 feet away on the table, it's going to look good. That makes everything much easier.
Yeah, and I guess a recommendation from my perspective is I would focus, so I don't mean this in this way, but it's just a reference point. Like a lot of miniature games have a 3-color rule, right? Where your mini has to have at least 3 colors in order to table it for the tournament. And what I'd say is 3 colors can, I mean, let's break down a couple miniatures, right? Like if you 3-color paint a stormtrooper, that's your base, your black, and your white. You're good to go. Move on with your life. And an orange little shield on your unit leader, done. Like that guy's done. Darth Vader is black with maybe you lighten it up with some highlight and you put, you know, make his lenses a little red tint and maybe some other colors on him. Done with a red lightsaber. There you go. Like it's really that simple.
It really is. And, you know, we're both blessed and cursed to be living in a time where we can go on Facebook and see all these beautiful miniatures and they can be intimidating because you think I'm never going to reach that level of skill. But at the same time, you can go onto YouTube and you can look up painting tutorials to see how to speed paint stormtroopers. I did one for Paint All the Minis. It is by no means the best way to paint stormtroopers, but as far as just getting stormtroopers out on the table, it works just fine. And there, you know, it goes from that very basic level all the way to top quality levels. And it's whatever you're comfortable with. You can go online and find out how to do these things pretty easy. And if you still have questions after that, you have Legion Discord or the Facebook community. And every time I've seen somebody ask a hobby-related question, they get very supportive, positive answers in return.
Oh, I would say across the board, not just hobby-related, but this community in general, and I've talked about this on the cast and other casts before, this community in general is by far the best, most supportive community, a gaming community I've ever been part of.
I know. We are truly lucky. And it's only getting better, I would say, as we bring more people in this hobby. We've done a good job of bringing the right people in the hobby and policing ourselves. And one of the things that will keep us moving forward, I think, as a community, is putting some time into the hobby. And that brings me to my second point, Jay, is when you play with painted miniatures, the games are just better. Star Wars Legion has done such a fantastic job of making you feel like you're on a battlefield in the Star Wars universe. So when you're playing with Luke Skywalker, you feel the power of being a Jedi Knight with Force Push or the lightsaber, or the jump one, or any of those special rules. Or if you're lined up against Darth Vader, there's fear in your heart because he feels like Darth Vader, right? And when you paint those miniatures up, it just adds to that depth of feeling like you're in the Star Wars universe, and it makes the games better. And I'd also ask you, you don't have as much, you know, miniature tabletop game experience as I do, but you played Warhammer Fantasy back in the day. When you think about your most favorite games or your most favorite opponents, I would venture to say it was against somebody who had paint on their miniatures.
100% agree. Yes.
I think the reason why that is because when you invest the time or effort or money or friendship points, when you get your friends to paint your minis for you, that army means more to you. And it's not just pushing pieces of plastic around the board. Then it's your army. And then it gets really, really fun. So I think even painting your models up to a basic level adds to the level of fun for both the player and his opponent.
Yeah, and I would say too that by painting, so for instance, here's a personal example. I've switched my army so many times that it's been very difficult for me to keep up painting-wise, right? But with Las Vegas Open coming up and Adepticon, I'm like, okay, that's it. I need to settle on a list, and I just need to practice and practice and practice this list, right? So with that, though, comes a commitment to that list, and I am now two minis away from having my complete list painted. And it just, I think what happens is, and to kind of further your point, is that you become committed to the list, which means that you're playing it more, which means you get better at it, which now means you're painting it too, because you know you're playing it. So I think that all, you're right. So when you play somebody who has a fully painted army, they've committed to that army and to that list. And that's why they're a better player. They're a better sport. There's somebody who really enjoys playing the game.
Man, that's such a great point that I hadn't even considered, because when you do paint those models, those are the models you're playing with, and you're going to get good with them, as opposed to, you know, jumping from army to army or unit to unit. That's a really good point. And then just people who paint their models, I would suggest, are in this hobby for more than just winning. And nothing is worse than playing a player who is only worried about winning, because that can really make for some bad play experiences. So when you have the competitive aspect, which is very important, everyone wants to compete, but it's combined with a hobby aspect and a social aspect, that makes the best scenario for any sort of game.
Yeah, I would agree 100%. And I think too, when you're painting or when you have a painted unit army, it's a topic, it's a conversation starter as well. So, you know, when somebody's walking by or even your opponent comes over, they go, oh, snap, you painted the snowtroopers, and they, you know, they'll pick it. They'll be like, hey, can I pick this up? And you're like, yeah, go for it. And then they start talking to you about stuff. And I found that that just opens up different avenues to new acquaintances or friendships, because you now have a conversation starter that maybe you didn't have before.
Yeah. And it, you know, all of us who play this game are huge fans of Star Wars. So it allows you to really explore the depth of the universe. I'm going to tell you a secret. I'm actually an Imperial player at heart, but Simon likes to play Imperials, and so I'm forced to play Rebels on the channel. But if you watch the YouTube video battle reports, that's actually Charlie Company, 9th Geonosian Suppression Battalion, that's represented on the table. So, you know, somebody comes up and asks me about my stormtroopers, they have an actual unit organization that I'll just go straight into, and we'll have a lot of fun talking about why Geonosians or Geonosis had to have a suppression battalion, or 9 of them for that matter, and, you know, how the Death Star was built there. And you can just have, you know, great conversations just based off the fact that you have painted miniatures and somebody noticed them.
Yeah, I would agree 100%. So along this kind of line, I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit. What would you recommend? So if I'm new to this game and I've kind of picked my units for my army and I want to get started painting, and I suppose this is going to differ from Rebels to Imperials, but what are some like good first steps that you would recommend to someone to just to get over that hump and to start getting into it?
Well, if you're at a place where you're part of a community, and, you know, as I said, my Legion community over here is Simon and myself, but if you're someplace like where you're at, there's other Legion players, that's the go-to place. Because not only are you going to get advice, but almost any community you're part of is also going to share maybe some of their hobby resources with you, especially if you're doing this in store, or you can borrow some paints from them or anything along those lines to get you started. Because people get excited when it comes to painting miniatures. And so I would encourage anybody who's out there, especially in the States, to visit their local game store, especially on a night where people are playing Star Wars Legion, and start asking questions about, hey, how'd you paint those miniatures, and can you show me? So that would be my first step. My second step would be go to YouTube and just Google whatever unit that you are looking to paint, and look at a painting video on YouTube. I think his name is Sarastis, does like the top end painting tutorials, and they're fantastic. But there's all kinds of them besides that you can look at, and they'll help you out. And that's where I think anybody begins in this hobby, those two places.
Yeah, and I would add to that, like, don't feel obligated to be as good as them. Like, you may not, and that's okay. Like, you don't have to be a brilliant minis painter. You can just be you and just paint them however the heck you want to paint them. Like, who cares if it's the best painted ever? If you like it and you're happy, then that's all that matters.
And you're going to get better. And if you can be part of a community that encourages you and you can draw inspiration from, that's fantastic. And so I'm going to plug the Paint All the Minis Facebook page. That is a place where people just post whatever game system they're playing or whatever models they're painting. And everyone just draws inspiration from that and gives encouragement to those people. It's not even there for advice. It's just to admire what we're doing. And that's enjoying the hobby aspects of these games.
Yeah, I think that's all great. So the next thing I'd like to talk about is Tabletop Simulator. So you and I just had a game on TTS, and you know, we've both been pretty active in the Legion Discord as far as TTS is concerned. What are your thoughts on TTS, Tabletop Simulator, and the Legion edition that Tieran did, and how do you feel about playing on there?
It's the next best thing to actually playing in real life. And there is no substitute for playing in real life, as Evan talks about all the time. But when you can't do that, Tabletop Simulator is a great substitute. I've met a ton of people, yourself included, through Tabletop Simulator, although I felt like I knew you because I had listened to your podcasts since just about the beginning. But, you know, Endless and Archimedes and everyone else who's on there playing games, you get to interact with these really great players. So I think as a player myself, it is really up my skill level. Simon, as I said, is very busy. He's played 3 games of Star Wars Legion. And I think if you watch the last game we just played and posted up the Paint All the Minis, you can kind of see the difference in skill level between him and me, where we started not too long ago at very similar skill levels. Just TTS has made me a much better player just by watching, learning, getting beat, and just recently starting winning.
Yeah. So for those of you who haven't watched it, I recommend going. It's on our YouTube channel. War Corgi and I go at it. It's a great battle. I won't spoil, but it went right down to the last hurrah. And so, I would agree with you. That's one of the things I really had to get myself into, is that I was like, all right, I need to practice if I want to like do relatively well at these tournaments coming up. I don't have enough time to get a group together to play, or like Evan or some of the other guys that we play with locally aren't always available. So how am I going to get that those reps in and that time in? And the answer is TTS. And it's a little different, and it has some of its own quirks, and it's not exactly the same, but it's gosh darn close enough that you can get your list down and really understand what you have on your hands. As far as a list is concerned,
it is so good for exploring other units that you might not own yet to determine whether or not you want to own them. And, you know, I think both you and I are serious collectors, so we end up getting all these units anyway. But if you're on a budget and you need to try these things out, nothing beats TTS, because you could go to a store and you can try to proxy things, but it's not the same experience. At least when you're playing on TTS, those are the actual models out on the board with all the cards, and you can even preview models that haven't been released yet. And, you know, it's going to be real interesting once we add the specialist that just recently came out, because some of those look really good.
Yeah. And, I would agree with that 100%. And it's the next, like, okay, like a lot of us proxy or whatever, and we'll play in a game where we just proxy something. But I think TTS is better than that, because it actually gives you a real feel of the height, the shape, the look, you know, what the unit's going to be when it's on the table. And it's hard to do that when you're proxying other units in real life.
Yeah, I think it's just much more satisfying than that. There's nothing wrong with proxying. Maybe I'm getting to the point where I'm becoming an elitist and then a little bit, you know, too proud to proxy at this point. But TTS is definitely the way I like to go when I try looking at some new miniatures and new units and figuring out what they do. Because, you know, most of us can afford to buy one unit of Scout Troopers, but it's much better to try three on TTS before you put any money down to buy any of them.
Yeah, and I would say, too, with TTS, you're working yourself out of your echo chamber. And so what I mean by that is when you're playing in your local league, you're kind of seeing the same stuff, the same people, their same play style all the time. And with TTS, like, for instance, War Corgi and I just played. He's in Germany, man. Like, there's guys from England, from Australia, from New Zealand, all over the world on TTS and on the Legion Discord. So you can – and, I mean – Michael, I mean, you told me this, right? It like opened up your mind as to what is possible in this game as far as tactics and strategy and how to play this game.
Yeah. And it's, you know, the really simple stuff that if you just weren't exposed to it, you don't know to do, like using cohesion to your advantage to peek around corners. Even though your unit leader can't get in line of sight, you can swing four other guys around the corner so that you're at least throwing four dice from those guys. And little things like that, which the great Legion players that are on Discord will show you while you're playing them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think the other thing, and this is something I've mentioned probably on the last three or four podcasts, but I'm going to say it again because I just liked it so much. Freeman and LJ were talking about the muscle memory with your list, and I really liked how they put that. And so I've become a firm believer in that. And so being able to play your list on Tabletop Simulator, like if you have the time, you literally can find a game every day. It's not a problem. So you could be playing all the time and getting better and better and better.
Yeah, I've probably played 20 games at this point, and I've never once run into somebody who I wouldn't play again. They've all been great opponents, and I would play each and every one of them again, given the opportunity.
All right. So wrapping up here,
I will say, but you know, anybody else that,
what was that?
I said you were kind of on the cusp of playing again. You know, you kind of iffy. I think I would, but don't pin me down on that. But everyone else has been fantastic.
Was it because of my? No, I don't want to give it away, but my severe depression through most of the game. But yeah, so I guess wrapping up, is there anything else you'd like to mention? Like, I encourage everybody, all of our listeners, to go check out your YouTube channel, War Corgi, also Paint All the Minis. Anything else you got going on, or you got a future coming? Anything coming in the future?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to moving back to the States in August, and I've already lined up some friends that I'm going to be filming with in St. Louis, Missouri. That's my hometown, and I'm finally going back home after over 20 years, so I'm looking forward to that. I will say there's not a whole lot of content creators for Star Wars Legion right now, so I definitely encourage this awesome community to reach out to them and let them know how much you appreciate the content that they're producing. The War Corgi channel's always thrived on that viewer feedback and encouragement, and then they also help us figure out how we can do things better. We don't have a Patreon. I'm not looking to get a Patreon, but there's a number of people who invest a lot of time and effort into building this community. If you're in a position where you can support their Patreon, I highly recommend to do that. But if you can't do that, you know, just send a thanks, or, you know, you can give them that review on iTunes. It doesn't take much time, or you can subscribe to their YouTube channel. All of us are doing this out of our own time and for the community. So it really means a lot when the community that we're working so hard for just gives us a tip of the cap, I would say.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, I think it's like guys like you and some of the other people we've interviewed that are really helping make this community great by producing great content and putting it out there for free for everybody to enjoy. And so I guess I just want to say thank you for being part of the community and reaching out to us and talking to us all the time. You know, I think before we really scheduled our TTS game, we've probably talked a few times and interacted throughout the community. And so it's just good to see people out there who are reaching out and are supporting the community, not just in providing content, but just in answering questions and being part of the conversation in general.
Yeah, this game is going to live or die by our efforts, our collective efforts. So everyone who's working towards the common goal of making sure this game is healthy into the far, far future, you know, it's just kind of what we got to do. And it's lucky for us, it's a lot of fun to do it.
Yeah, well, I think that's a good note to end on. Thank you so much for coming on, man. We really appreciate it.
All right, Jay, please send my best to Evan, and I look forward to meeting you both someday.
Yeah, well, I think with you coming into the States, that could be a real possibility.
LVO 2020.
So, yeah, so that was our interview with War Corgi, or Michael. Cool dude. I really enjoyed our TTS game. Highly recommend checking out his YouTube channel. And his Paint All the Minis YouTube channel, both good resources. Mm-hmm. And it was fun. And it's just so interesting. So, you know, as you heard on there, he's from Germany. He's not German, he's American, but he's in Germany. And it's just, that's part of the thing I love about this game right now, especially with like the Discord and TTS and everything. Like all these people from all over the world are connecting on this game, and it's just been really incredible to like talk to all these people from just different walks of life and just, you know, who all have their own point of view, you know, on this game, which has been wonderful.
No, it's cool. Like metas change from area to area, right? Like our local one, snipers reign supreme because our terrain isn't really great, so they can always get a shot. Not that it's not. Our train of comic zone is pretty good, but a lot of open space. It's made for Warhammer.
Yep.
Not a whole lot of buildings. So, like, snipers kind of reign supreme there. But on TTS, I'm realizing that that is not the case.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, you go somewhere else, and they have a completely different, like, oh, man, like, Wookiees just run rampant around here. Like, it's always interesting to see what people play.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a lot of fun to just connect with everybody and see what they're doing with Legion, what their favorite parts of Legion are, and etc.
Yeah, no, excellent.
But all right, well, that's going to do it for us for this week. Thank you for listening, and have a good week.
Everyone, stay rad.
Join us next week for another edition of the Fifth Trooper Podcast.
This has been a Fifth Trooper production.